Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. We're going to have Josh Sens in the clubhouse. He played your Sheep Ranch not too long ago. Of course, open to the public on the 1st. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous photos that I've seen. Of course, I haven't been there. I miss this, so I want to share it with you now. Volcano Golf Course is closed permanently on the Big Island. I thought maybe they were waiting to open up, but no, I missed the article on the Big Island. Volcano Golf Course and Country Club permanently closed. There was the fire. There was the pandemic. So all of these things happening all at the same time has caused a lot of problems, I assume, for the people who own or were managing the Volcano Golf Course and Country Club. So they've decided to permanently close. It came as a surprise to Kamehameha Schools. Now, they do say that they're going to possibly stay the course, as it is quoted, and keep the property as a golf course for the foreseeable future. I don't know that you know that it's a 100-year-old golf course, opened nearly 100 years ago on a 156-acre site. And thank you to the Hawaii Tribune Herald for that information. We're going to have partly sunny skies today. Brief showers are likely and certainly welcome, since we're going to have a high today of 91 degrees. Breezy trade winds, 15 to 25 miles per hour, fortunately. Mostly cloudy on the Big Island with brief showers likely to a little bit cooler. Breezy trades, 10 to 25, so they're getting a little bit more winds, but it's going to be all good. Just put on that sunscreen when you're going to go out and play a round of golf. Maybe Makalei has a 9 o'clock. Poipu Bay, 10:30, and thank you, Poipu Bay, for being part of Women's Golf Day and the auction to benefit Doctors Without Borders. Someone won that auction. We also had Mauna Kea. It's just a lot of fun, and a lot of people did a lot to benefit both the fun of the game for women as well as the people who are raising money for Doctors Without Borders. We're going to come back. Matt Adams is going to join us. He's host of Fairways of Life, host, analyst, and commentator, equipment specialist on Golf Channel. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
All right, Matt Adams, host Fairways of Life, free via Fairways of Life. The app is available iOS and Android systems. Of course, he's also on NBC and Golf Channel, host and reporter. You'll see him on Golf Central like I did this morning. Welcome into the clubhouse, Matt.
Hey, Danielle, how have you been?
Good, good. I mean, things are, you know, getting a little bit back to kind of normal. Things like, we've got golf happening in a week. So next week, Saturday, we'll be in the final two rounds of the Charles Schwab Challenge with a field that rivals many major championships. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, I'm delighted that the field is that strong. I think it speaks to the way players rally around their tour. I also speaks to the fact that they're so tired of being pent up at home, they can't wait to get back out and to compete again. So from a fan's perspective, you know, I hear a lot of talk about what is it going to be like without having fans on site and how, you know, will that be detrimental, et cetera. But, you know, the vast majority of fans are not on site when a golf tournament is going on. And while I think they can add to the excitement and even to the ability to ride momentum, when it's all said and done, the vast majority, by a massive percentage, are those of us that are watching it at home.
Yes.
And we're going to be able to watch this at home. So I'm super excited that it's about to get started again.
Yes, exactly. There's the one, of course, tournament, the Ryder Cup, that without fans won't feel the same. But we've got fans joining in at the memorial. They're allowing not as many, a smaller number, but fans will be allowed it on the LPGA, the marathon, and this is happening in July. What do you think for Ryder Cup?
I would rather not see a Ryder Cup without fans. I know that's something that they're debating. Because there's a President's Cup plan next year, I haven't actually heard anything from the PGA Tour perspective if they'd be willing to take their President's Cup and push it to another year, the ensuing year. If they'd be willing to do that, it would solve the conversation, but I haven't heard that yet. And if it was a problem of saying, you know, like the Ryder Cup would have to skip, I haven't heard that speculation yet either, but if it was, then go ahead and play it without fans if you have to. If it's an either do this or nothing, I'd rather have them do it anyway. But the fans really are a part of the Ryder Cup. I think some of the fans, it was a small percentage, but some of the fans got too crazy the last time it was in the United States, and I think that that's something that they need to keep an eye on in terms of how engaged they were with the players. I mean, I was there, what they were saying to the players and all the rest. That's not really about being a fan. That's about being confrontational. I don't think they need to do that. But I would rather see the fans there for sure. What about yourself?
I'm definitely in favor of having the fans for Ryder Cup. It's the two squads up against each other in a format that really it's enhanced by the fans being on site, that format, in having the team competition, the singles matches. It's kind of there's not enough action for the cameras to go back and forth like they can during a tournament, where they can be here, they can be there, they can go from this one and this one. So when you're watching on television, you're constantly engaged. That's also something that doesn't happen when you're a fan at a tournament. It's fun to be there, but you get better vision. I mean, oftentimes in the media center, I'll find myself going, well, I'm really catching the action right here. I can see it right here. Being on the course, you have to run here or run there to really catch up with the hot moment, which the cameras are catching immediately.
You know what's interesting about that, Danielle, is when you talk about being able to see the action and the shots, it works the other way with a player without having fans there, for example, coming up at Colonial. Then wayward shots that would be, if you're going to be wayward, you want to be wayward enough that you're out just outside the rope line and before you're in the trees, because that's where the fans stand. And so they mat down all that grass and you can end up getting some pretty good lies over there. That's not going to happen now. So be curious to see how wayward drives are penalized coming up at the start of the PGA Tour of these next few tournaments, where there won't be fans there, that they will not get that benefit of perhaps a better lie than they otherwise would end up with when it's just thick and gnarly.
Yeah. So does that mean, I was hearing this morning on Golf Central talk about, you know, Bryson DeChambeau and his 320-yard drives, but not necessarily. I mean, the longer they go, they're not as accurate. You have to hold yourself back if the rough is tough and the fans haven't batted it down.
Yeah, Bryson is, what, 122nd, tied for 122nd in driving accuracy, which isn't really that far off from a lot of the big guns on tour. I saw a quote recently, and it was a player that was incredibly accurate, complaining that the golf courses are set up for the long ball hitters and that there's no penalty for how far you hit the ball, even if it's offline into the rough, because you can just take a wedge and gouge it onto the green. And interestingly enough, the quote was from 1972 from Lee Trevino.
Wow.
So that's in the DNA of the PGA Tour. And it is absolutely a conscious effort on their part in terms of how they set up a golf course, because people love to see these players do things that no one else is capable of doing, like hitting like Bryson's doing right now, drives that are averaging 321 yards. And the conversation that we had this morning on Golf Channel about Bryson was amazing, because he's listed as 6'1 in the PGA Tour media guide. He's claiming that he's coming back into competition at 240 pounds, and he said he wants to get to 270 pounds. So he is an amazing... I said on TV this morning that he's a very interesting cat, because he does stuff and he says stuff that people kind of shake their head and go, nah, it can't be. It just can't be. Yet he follows through on it. He delivers on it. Five wins in his first 100 starts puts him on a better track, at least initially, than Patrick Reed, than Justin Rose. It's really interesting who he is and what he is and how different he is. But at the end of the day, he is delivering. He's getting those wins.
I know the guy is a physics maniac, and he understands the physics of, I guess, the mechanics of the body, though. I am a firm believer that you're born with a certain stature that your body can handle, and overtaxing it at some point can harm it over the long term. I'm probably way off. I don't know. Because
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure at all, except for the fact that when we were talking about what I just said to you, that John Cook, who's on with us, who won 11 times on the PGA Tour, he kind of harumphed. And I can't remember if this was on the air or in between segments, to tell you the truth. But nonetheless, yes, it was a fitting comment. He kind of harumphed, and he said, let's see how his joints and knees feel after 2 weeks of two consecutive events at Muirfield Village going up and down those hills.
That was on the air.
I think it's a story that still is waiting to play itself out.
Yes, and that's why it's so interesting. And that's why when you said, I think that he's, or was it Gary Williams who said he's such an asset, because there are those so for him and so against him, and that he becomes fascinating to watch. And
we all agree that he's good for the PGA Tour. He's good for the game. Whether you like him or you don't like him, those type of characters draw people to a sport.
Yeah, exactly. And I met him when he was at Sony Open. He was playing with our Hawaii State Junior Golf Association in the Pro Junior Challenge. His stature was, you know, like you said, 6'1", maybe he looked more like 6 feet. I don't think he'd grown into his full height. And he was nowhere near. He was maybe 170, 180 pounds. You know, what he's doing now, it just doesn't seem, but good on him. You know, maybe if he wants to be a long drive. Did you hear that the, it's interesting, Golf Channel is selling the long drive aspect, finding it's a new home for the World Long Drive organization. I'm not sure, but I always think to myself, I'd rather watch golf as a thinking man sport with the short clubs that are so important and watching them think their way. So, Tiger is such a good example of that. Seve Ballesteros, the perfect example of it. That kind of golf, watching them pull something off, then watch the long hit, and then it just seems just, and then we're on the green. It just, there's no finesse, and I miss the finesse. That's the part that I have with these very long hitters. I'd like to see more finesse in the game. Back to some of the news that's happening, of course. The PGA Tour is kicking off with the Charles Schwab Challenge. Korn Ferry Tour, same day, starting the Korn Ferry Challenge. TPC Sawgrass, what an awesome venue for them to start their year.
Where it's located is good for where a lot of the players live. They can drive there, where they work from. I had a chance to speak to Eric Compton about it yesterday and said, hey, what are you thinking about? How do you feel? How excited are you? And this is a guy that's received multiple heart transplants. And he was, I don't think he was kidding with it, where he said, well, this is bringing people more into my world. The fact that we're wearing face masks, and he's had to wear face masks after his surgeries. And he said, this is also not only, he's doing it to protect other people from the virus, but he said it's also protecting him, and it's protecting him from viruses outside of COVID-19, which I thought was an interesting perspective. And then I spoke with Ben Coles as well, and he said he's very excited to get going. He's ready to play golf again. He thinks that the tour has done a great job with their safety precautions. They're erring on the side of caution at that. And so from that standpoint, too, it's great that we're getting going again, because what a lot of people don't realize is that the PGA Tour, the vision that people have of the PGA Tour is that once you qualify for the PGA Tour and you can compete there, then your streets are paved with gold. It's not necessarily the case when you're on the Korn Ferry Tour. They don't make a huge amount of money, and when you take from it travel and you take caddy fees and all the things that go into any life connect with your income, then it's still a struggle in every way. But that's the way the minor leagues are supposed to be, and it's a proving ground. And I think it's great that the PGA Tour is staying aggressive and getting it going again. In fact, getting it going, as you noted, the exact same week that the PGA Tour restarts. I think it's great.
Yeah. And now Vijay Singh was going to play, and he's changed his mind. But there are several other more, you know, not as well known, but there's several PGA Tour players who are choosing to play Korn Ferry Tour. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I don't have a problem with it. If you're qualified to play wherever you're qualified to play, you've earned the right to go there and do it. With Vijay, to me, it was never about what he was doing, a player of his stature and a multiple-time major champion playing on the Korn Ferry Tour. It was always about who was doing it. I mean, Jack Nicklaus played on what was then called the Web.com Tour because one of his boys was in the same event, and it was applauded. They wanted him to do it. Fred Couples was greeted with open arms at the prospect. So with Vijay, it's really much more about the image of who people think he is. Mm-hmm. And so they were up in arms with this idea that he's taking away playing opportunities for players on the Korn Ferry Tour. But the reality is this idea of playing opportunities, sponsors exemptions, as we've seen, can go to celebrities on tour. It's about what turns the gate. And I'm not saying that his was a sponsors exemption. He was legitimately exempt. I'm just saying that every single field had people that go into that field that is not part of some program that is so pure that everybody who deserves an opportunity is getting that opportunity. That, too, is part of what I'm talking about in terms of the reality. Ultimately, the harsh message to all of those people are, if you have a problem with it, then make more putts, play better, and you'll be exempt too.
Yes, indeed. Play your way into the big leagues, and you'll be able to just play anywhere you want, anytime you want. Why do you think Tiger Woods has chosen? I know why Tommy Fleetwood isn't going to play this first Charles Schwab Challenge PGA Tour, kicking off no fans, albeit lots of testing, lots of quarantine, which is why Tommy didn't decide to come over here. He's just going to stay with the European Tour. Why Tiger not playing in Texas?
Well, my guess is with Tiger is he's just restarting the clock and restarting the calendar after the layoff. The irony is with Tiger Woods is how much would he have played during the period of time that nobody else was playing anyway? That's the way Tiger is right now. He's taking it easy on his body. As we saw in the exhibition against Phil and the quarterback, He was swinging really well. He's playing really well. Ultimately, when you get into a discussion, though, about where Tiger plays and where he doesn't play, it comes down to how the golf course suits him. And Colonial is about a golf course about working the golf ball into spots. It's really interesting because when you look at these beginning tournaments where you've got Colonial, you've got the RBC, you've got the Travelers. These golf courses are not about power. These golf courses are not about overwhelming or bringing a golf course to its knees. Instead, it's about nuance. It's about working the ball into different positions, which for me, I'd look at that and go, you know what, Tiger, the way he hits from the fairways, it's still, at his age, one of the best in the world in terms of hunting down flagsticks. So I think he could have played well there, but you never really know with Tiger. There's just something about the golf course, obviously, he's not as happy with as otherwise, and he's going to wait.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll just have to wait because he sure looked really good watching him. Texas Women's Open, Celine Boutier won 14 under by two strokes over Cheyenne Knight. Colorado Women's Open, Jennifer Kupcho won that tournament. And the 2021 Solheim Cup captain, Pat Hurst, picked Angela Stanford as her first assistant captain. Really a great pick. Angela Stanford, such a fighter, such a and a great team member of the Solheim Cup when she played. I think it was a great pick. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I had Angela on my radio show yesterday, in fact, to talk about her being named an assistant captain for that. And she noted that, you know, she's 42 years old, but she noted that her intent is to play well and to qualify for that team and to represent the team as a player And she said that Pat Hurst acknowledged that, saying, look, I'm not saying that you're not going to make this team, but be my assistant captain. If you play well enough that you will actually compete, then so be it. Then you actually compete as one of the competitors for a seventh time representing the United States on a Solheim Cup team. Who could forget when she was up against Suzanne Pettersson in 2015? That was a year that the United States came back and won six of the final seven and ended up overcoming the lead by the European team and winning that one. She beat Suzanne 2-1 on that day. So I really like what she's doing. Angela did tell me, interestingly enough, though, that she's been working. She's played her entire career with a draw, working the ball from right to left to get a little more distance, a little more run. And since the shutdown, she's been working on reversing that. She wants to have a soft little fade, just let it drop slightly to the right so that she has more control over a golf ball. I thought that was absolutely fascinating at 42 years old as a major champion for her to say, I'm going to change fundamentally the cornerstones of my golf swing and make this change for me and for my future and my consistency. I'm excited to see how it plays out for her.
It's really exciting to see someone decide to make a change, as you say, at 42 when you're so grooved into what you normally do. I'm also excited about what was announced, PGA Tour, kicking off a new university, the PGA Tour University, with a new ranking system for the college golfers. So I think it keeps them in college. And then as they work, depending on the rankings they have as college players, they can earn their way from college into the Korn Ferry, into the PGA Tour Latino America, PGA Tour Canada, PGA Tour China. What do you think?
I'm fascinated by the fact that golf at a collegiate level is starting to get the attention that it is now getting. If you look at the other major collegiate sports, football, basketball, to a certain extent, baseball, et cetera, whether you're talking about with basketball, men or women's basketball, they're huge to their respective schools, and the games are televised, national tournaments, the NCAAs, the bowl games with the college football and all the rest. Well, golf has existed almost silently in terms of it being a collegiate sport that people might be interested in. A few years ago, as you know, Golf Channel started to air different college events, including the NCAA tournament. So I think this is great. The vast majority of collegiate players, even those that go on to become professionals, either at a club level or to play it for whatever period of time that they are blessed to be able to do so professionally, most of them stay in school for the duration of it. I'm glad with any program that makes that opportunity for the elite, for the best of the best, easier perhaps to get these qualifications and move on from there. So the fact that the PGA Tour is recognized collegiate golf, the fact that instead of setting up something that kind of pushes a player to making a decision, should I leave school early or should I finish, which I'd like to see the players finish because you never know when an injury could happen or something else that derails your dream of being a touring professional for the rest of your working career. So I think it's very healthy. I think it's amazing. And I think it speaks to where college golf is going in terms of the interest, not only at a PGA Tour level, but soon enough and inclusive with what Golf Channel is doing with the NCAAs, et cetera, on the television side and on the fan side.
It's awesome. And the first college ranking is going to be released this summer. So this is awesome. Matt Adams is host of Fairways of Life. It's free. You can get his app, both iOS and Android. Just, go to your store. NBC and Golf Channel host and reporter, of course, on Morning Drive and Golf Central, primarily, and he's a multiple New York Times best-selling author. Matt Adams' book, his 12th book, is The Golf Round I'll Never Forget, 50 of Golf's Biggest Stars Recall Their Finest Moments, a great Father's Day gift. Thank you so much for being on the show, Matt.
Always a pleasure, Danielle. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. You too. Aloha.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to take a trip to the Alawai. We're going to take a trip to Sheep Ranch. And we're going to talk a little bit about that decision that I brought up kind of at an inopportune moment about Golf Channel releasing a long drive organization, finding a buyer for the World Long Drive Association. And that is something that Josh Sins wrote about, golf writer, golf magazine, golf food and travel writer. And by the way, he co-authored Sammy Hagar's Are We Having Fun Yet? I think I am. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
And Aloha Power Equipment has what you need at their Waipahu and Sand Island stores. You need a Honda EU 2200 generator for $999. And you get the extended warranty for $99.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. And check BayviewHawaii.com.
You know, you've got to make reservations. You've got to book your tee time before going to the golf courses, so there's not a lot of people hanging around. We just want to be safe. Bayview has an 8:36, a 9:30, a 10:20, and an 11:48.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction. The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors. Increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And let's bring in Josh Sins, golf writer, golf magazine, golf food and travel. Welcome into the clubhouse. Again, Josh, the last time we talked, you were telling us about your experience at Kahuku Golf Course. And now we're talking about the Alawai.
That's right. It's good to be back talking about municipal golf on Oahu.
Yes. And you know what's funny is I caught this beautiful shot. I guess Mark Rolfing took it. Gorgeous photo from the air of the Alawai Golf Course. And it is nestled between all those hotels along the Pacific Ocean and the Alawai Canal. It looks so beautiful. And it is a beautiful course. It's been around forever. And Josh Sins spoke with Ronald Ching, and this is a great story about how many people love the Alawai Golf Course and how it's played. How did you meet Ronald?
You know, I had called over to the city to find out about what was going on with municipal golf. I mean, it was part of a bigger story to me that after the pandemic, we've seen a lot of after the release of lockdowns, we've seen so much pent up demand for golf. Public courses all around the country have been crowded. At the same time, there are people worrying about the future of municipal golf. Obviously, budgets are going to be lean and even leaner in the future. So it got me thinking about Oahu golf, and Hawaii as a place that sort of crystallizes a lot of the promise and the potential problems that municipal golf faces today. So I wanted to see what was going on with Alawai, a famously crowded course, to see how it was holding up after after the lockdown. And when I called the city, they said, you got to talk to this guy, Ronald Ching. He's a lifer out there. He's Mr. Alawai. And he really is. He's been playing there for more than 50 years. And he retired 21 years ago from his job in the airline industry. And since then, he's volunteered. In addition to playing three times a week, he's volunteered 4 days a week on the maintenance staff. You know, when he's not playing golf, he's out there killing weeds and fixing ball marks.
That's neat. That's fantastic. Well, you know, I had no idea that at the Alawai they were going out before the pandemic as sixums with 6 minutes apart, and sometimes the starter having two golfers in the same group tee off simultaneously.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, you hear stories. Here in California, I'd always heard stories about Alawai before I first visited about 5 or 6 years ago. And it really dated back to the 80s when the National Golf Foundation named Alawai the busiest golf course on the planet. At the time, it was doing around 200,000 rounds a year, I think, and was four times bigger numbers than the average public golf course in the United States. So famously busy. And when I went to Alawai just to watch what was going on, I actually ended up seeing some simultaneous tee-offs myself.
We don't do that anymore. Not since the reopening. You know, it's, what is it, four, it's 12 minutes apart, maybe nine soon. And your article is really good. It's in golf.com. I just go to golf.com and you'll see it. The beautiful picture of the Alawai. And it's foursomes and 12 minutes apart right now. Did they say that they're going to go to 9 minutes?
There was talk of, as the phases of sort of lifting the lockdown go through, as part of phase three, there was talk that the tee time intervals were going to be reduced to 9 minutes. You know, but prior, as you said, there were 6 minutes. They went up to 12 minutes. And I was told in the coming weeks we can expect 9-minute intervals again.
That's great. And in closing, Ronald Ching said about playing at the Alawai and working at the Alawai, he said, any day above ground is a good day. And if you're on the golf course, better still. I thought that was such a good closing quote. It's awesome.
Amen.
Yay, man. Right. Exactly. Now, this came as a surprise to me when I was reading about the World Long Drive Association, sport's largest and longest running circuit. I didn't know it was the sport's longest running, largest. It's on the market. It's being sold. Golf Channel is selling the WLDA because of a range of course, pandemic-related factors. What is happening here?
Yeah, that's right. It is the largest circuit in the world. Long Drive, as a sport, sort of began informally, or it was an offshoot of the PGA Championship in 1976. It was sort of a novelty event back then. But it's grown over the decades, and in 2015, Golf Channel and its parent company, NBC, purchased what was then a different long drive circuit run by a guy named Art Selinger, who stayed on as a commentator. And Golf Channel, since then, since 2015, has been busy growing the sport and televising more events. And it's a global sport now. You know,
yeah.
It's competed on all six continents where golf is played. But it's also never been a huge moneymaker for the players. And the network originally, Golf Channel bought it originally because they wanted to expand their live programming. You know, they had golf Thursday through Sunday, live golf with PGA Tour and LPGA Tour and other tour, but they didn't have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday live programming. So that was part of their bid when they bought Long Drive. They wouldn't share the numbers. I don't think. My best educated guess would be that Long Drive has never been a huge cash cow for the network, but it was a nice offering to have in the portfolio. But the pandemic has changed that. Sponsorship dollars are down. Travel restrictions are in place, and with players trying to come in from all over, it was a combination, Golf Channel said, of all those factors, plus refocusing on their core,
yeah,
as a media company rather than as a company that puts on events.
Yeah, and they did a great job. I mean, if you'd never watched it before or weren't even interested, the way they presented it, you became interested in the people who are competing. I know there's a young lady who's trying to work her way onto the circuit, and I'm sure that that's what this whole Long Drive Association, World Long Drive Association has done, is it's brought a lot of young eyes that may not have been able to compete as golfers on a circuit, but had that drive to be able to go long and compete like that. So
yeah,
got to know a lot of interesting people watching.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's a spectacle. If you go to one of those events or you watch one on TV, especially if you're there in person, it has this sort of atmosphere of a monster truck rally crossed with a golf tournament. It's pretty electric. There's loud music. You know, there's no quiet on the tee box there. And the characters are pretty, the players themselves, the hitters are pretty charismatic. They know that, you know, part of making it in the sport is also having a brand. You got to be able to hit it far, but all the better if you can be a personality out there. So people are just letting it loose, and they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And they're so into it that this sport will survive. It's just a question of who's going to be broadcasting it and who's going to be running it.
Yeah, who's going to pick it up? Yeah, and it's tough right now. It's tough for everybody. I mean, everybody's having a hard time with just advertising, the advertising dollars. You can't get people to go out anywhere. You know, it's going to the restaurants. They're open in Hawaii, and they look really good. They've put some outside dining, which is perfect. We have the weather for it. It's romantic. It's kind of Parisian in its, or any European city, and its feel, where you get to sit outside and people watch, feel the air, chat. It feels really good. And it's slowly reopening everything. Opening for the first time. Bandon Dunes has now Sheep Ranch. How long has Corin Crenshaw been working on this?
Well, it dates back to the early days of Bandon Dunes when Mike Kaiser first bought the property. The Sheep Ranch existed sort of as part of the resort, but not part of the resort. The resort didn't operate it. It was a sleepy 13-hole course that Kaiser owned with a former business, or a longtime business partner of his, but it wasn't part of the resort. If you wanted to play Sheep Ranch back in the day, it was a rough-cut 13-hole course. They didn't irrigate it. The only thing they watered were the greens. I mean, it was as raw as golf gets. And you had to make special arrangements through a local golf shop in town. You didn't do it through the resort. But Corin Crenshaw were brought back in. Time was decided it was right to turn it into an 18-hole routing, and it just opened to the public June 1st. It's the fifth 18-hole course at Bandon Dunes, which also has a par 3 13-hole course. And it is spectacular. I mean, it's eye candy galore. Part of the fun of going to Bandon Dunes is playing with your friends and debating afterwards which course is best, and everybody has an opinion, and no one's wrong. But the Sheep Ranch now, or Sheep Ranch, you can say the Sheep Ranch or Sheep Ranch, I'm told. It's like Batman, Danielle. You can call him Batman or the Batman. same with the Sheep Ranch. So I'm calling it the Sheep Ranch here, and it has now entered the conversation, you know, and it will enter the eternal debate over what course at Bandon is the best.
It sure does. I mean, it is spectacular. Some of the shots that I've seen of that golf course, I can't remember the name of the Brian Krebiel.
He took some of the aerial shots. Yeah, the drone footage.
Wow.
You can really see it. I mean, that it's the smallest 18-hole plot on Bandon at the resort, but it has more than a mile of coastline, which is more than any other course, and 9 greens set along the bluffs, and you play to them from all different directions. There are no sand bunkers on the course either. So it's a very striking-looking place, and it's a great complement to what they already have. You know, every course there has a different personality, and the Sheep Ranch is very distinctive in its own right.
Yeah, but in your article, this is, you can also find at golf.com, and this is Josh Sens, golf writer, golf magazine, and at golf.com. Now, does Mike Kaiser say really that the first hole, Sheep Ranch, is the best opener in golf?
He says that, and he is not a guy who speaks in grand terms. He doesn't overstate things, and he's certainly not one to toot his own horn or the horn of his own properties. He's a very low-key guy. Anybody who's ever dealt with him knows that, and he says the first hole at Sheep Ranch is the best hole in golf.
Wow.
It is a pretty spectacular par 5 that kind of sweeps out over a ridge then down to the ocean. And there are ocean views, and this isn't probably so unusual for you folks in Hawaii, but to have ocean views on 18 holes here on the West Coast is unusual. Water views everywhere.
So there's ocean views on all 18 holes?
Yep, you can see the ocean from all 18 holes, and on 9 of them, you're literally putting, you know, within edges of the bluff.
It sounds spectacular. It looks spectacular. When you said Sheep Ranch is home to moody atmospherics unlike those of any other Bandon course, atmospherics?
Atmospherics. Well, you know, one of the things that adds to the character of the course are these things called snags. It was a term I was unfamiliar with. It's a forestry term that refers to dead trees that are still standing. And along the coast of Oregon, you see some of them, whether they've been left behind by disease or fire, but they have these sort of blackened kind of roots and branches, and they look ghostly. And they're all over they dot the sort of coastline of Sheep Ranch, and they create a mood out there that just makes you feel sort of like you're in another world.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Atmospherics.
There you go.
All right.
Maybe I'm making up words, but no, as long as you get the gist.
I get the gist. Yes, it's perfect. I can't close this without asking you about being the co-author with Sammy Hagar of Are We Having Fun Yet?
Sammy Hagar was a great guy to work with, is a great guy. He is one of the least pretentious megastars you'll ever meet, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, who is so down to earth and probably loves food more than he loves golf. So he asked me about 8 or so years ago, I'm trying to remember exactly when it was, when we got started on the project, to catalog his life in food and his high living around the world, and it was a lot of fun. We got some recipes and some good drinks and food out of it along the way.
So is that a book I can buy?
You absolutely can, yes.
Yes.
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon. So
there you go.
It's something for Father's Day?
Sure, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
For all the redheads out there, as they call him. You know, he's the red rocker. There are deadheads for the Grateful Dead, and there are redheads for Sammy Hagar. And he's got a loyal following out there. So anybody who's into Sammy and Van Halen days, or Sammy as a solo artist, it's a good book to sort of trace his life in food and drink.
And he's a golfer.
He's actually not.
Oh.
I asked Sammy when I met him. He was in his late 60s. I said, "Hey, Sammy, do you play golf?" He says, "Hell no, I'm too young for that."
Josh Sens, golf writer, Golf Magazine, thanks so much for being in the clubhouse with us this morning.
Thanks, Danielle. Be well.
Thank you. You too. Aloha. We're coming back. There is a big project underway. Rob Goulet is president, Entertainment Sports Partners, lifelong career of PGA Tour professional, golf player management, and corporate sponsorship. And now he has founded, well, we're going to tell you about it right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
Outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Rob Goulet, president, Entertainment Sports Partners, lifelong career of PGA Tour professional golf player management and corporate sponsorship. ESP, Entertainment Sports Partners, privately held golf consulting, management, sponsorship sales, event marketing firm, blue chip clients, American Express, Airbus, Alcatel, Gulfstream, Aerospace, of course, NetJets, Golf Week, Rolex, USGA, PGA Tour, LPGA, PGA of America, and four-time major champion, Hall of Fame professional golfer, 71 worldwide wins, Mr. Ernie Els. Now, Rob Goulet has changed a little bit up, but keeping his, of course, solid business. He is founder and president, Clubs Help. It's clubshelp.org, a national charitable organization. Welcome into the clubhouse, Rob.
Hey, Danielle. Nice to be here. How are you today?
Good. Good, sir. You're bringing country club people together to help people in need, and there's so much need today. What sparked this?
Well, I was actually probably in the same point in time as everybody else, about a week into this pandemic, in late March. And I was sitting at home thinking, you know, what can I do with my relationships and the people that I know in golf and in the industry that can help out with this pandemic, like, you know, millions and millions and countless other people that were sitting around and kind of stuck in our homes and watching a lot of TV. And after about 4 or 5 days, that gets to be quite enough for people that are out and about and moving. And I didn't like the way the media was portraying the game of golf. I didn't think that that was very fair. There was a lot of conversation at that point in time that privileged people were out playing golf and weren't paying attention to social distancing, and there were issues in the media's mind. And I thought, well, nothing could be further from the truth with that. And the people of golf, the game of golf, gives back like no other sport. The PGA Tour just surpassed its $3 billion mark of giving. And I'm obviously very involved in the PGA Tour and as a manager of players and corporate sponsorship. And I thought, well, this really isn't fair. And I'm watching a television show about a little club in New Jersey by the name of Springbrook Country Club. And this general manager and the members, their Saturday morning group, were going and bringing water and necessary supplies and needs of their local community in the New Jersey area, and they were working to get these kinds of supplies and waters and food and stuff over to their local hospital. And I thought, wow, this is such a great thing that they're doing, and couldn't that end up being something that could be turned into a national cause?
Yes.
And so at that point in time, I picked up the phone and called the club and called the general manager by the name of Dave Bachman. It took about a day for him to get back to me because he was so inundated with things that were happening with the interview that he had done. And I said, look, you know, you've got one club that's doing something, but let's rally and get the club community and get the member community behind something that they can support, and they can actually do something from home while they're there. And that was the genesis for creating Clubs Help. And our mission is to connect golf and member clubs with local communities to activate a powerful network that provides critical resources in times of need. The foundation was obviously created to service hospitals and emergency service providers, the frontline workers, in aid of the fight against COVID-19. But we've, in 63 days since our inception, have gone from one to just under 400 clubs, and we've onboarded over 180 hospitals and nursing homes, EMT, fire, police. And we felt that this was a way that we could all give back, and that you've got resourceful people that are business owners that are already pillars in the community. Clubs are typically a haven for, you know, business meetings, local Kiwanis clubs and Lions clubs and various places where people meet and do things positive for their local community. I didn't feel like we were in a situation where we wanted to create another organization that wouldn't be able to react. I felt like we could get these movers and shakers motivated to help by just using their clubs. So when the very first opportunity arose with Springbrook and in their community, they acted locally, and what they did is they got a message out to all their members stating that they needed waters and food and things like that, and product was purchased and brought up to the club, social distancing left under their porte-cochere. They would gather all of that and bring it over to the hospital. And so that was the genesis of what started this, and we created an organization very simply with no commitments from the club other than to participate and notify their membership that they're involved in this, in giving back and helping out the frontline workers, because there was such a real need in the first almost 45 days of this pandemic. Things obviously have quieted down a little bit, and there's been a little bit of change, and we've adjusted our position a little bit more to really kind of unite nationally but care locally. And so that's where we're taking this going forward. And just 2 days ago, we were able to support a situation with a local club in Pennsylvania where the head golf professional was struck by a tree and was unfortunately sadly killed. And we're about being first responders and early movers to show that our industry does care and we can all come together. And that's really where we are. We've done a lot of things in the last 60 days. We've built an advisory council. It's kind of a who's who in the club industry with our club advisory council. We've created a healthcare advisory council, which is kind of a who's who and some of the big pharma companies all over. And we're building on those councils. And so it's really become quite an interesting movement. And we're pleased with where we've come from day one to now. I think we're day 65.
This is amazing. Now, each community has its own needs. For instance, in Hawaii, with so much of our resort industry not employed, we have a huge need for food. So there have been food distributions, 4,000 people coming, thousands of people waiting in lines at the Aloha Stadium, getting from the Hawaii Food Bank in a corporate a structure where the city put up $1 million and another entity, a private entity, put up $1 million, and they've been distributing food. And it's huge. We have that's the kind of need that is going on now. Are you embracing all the different aspects? So when you say unite nationally, care locally, each community has its own needs. Is that a part of your mission?
Yes, a part of our mission is that we're not looking to create specific requirements of the clubs and the members that are involved with our cause. We've embraced exactly that that need with food and food banks, and we want the clubs to figure out where they think the money needs to go locally. We're getting ready to do a national event, a 100-hole challenge national event. 85% of the proceeds will be determined where they go by the local community and those clubs and the members and the people that are raising money for that. And we certainly are going to make suggestions of clubs, of organizations that we're affiliated with. But we're not trying to set policy. We're just trying to use our leverage and our reach,
right,
to be able to allow these national events to become a much bigger and better process for them to be able to effectuate in their community. And we believe that every club in the world should be involved in this. And it doesn't have to be just golf clubs. It's tennis and sailing and fly fishing and any organization where there's a membership that can activate and move quickly, almost as if you're a little mini FEMA, and react and help people out. And that's what we've done. You know, our network has over 500,000 members already.
Wow.
And it's growing. And we know that the number of golfers and the communities that are involved in this, they want their club to be involved. And we think that, you know, if they don't have a foundation already and they haven't chosen local causes, this is a wonderful way for them to do that. And we've activated some really interesting partnerships with PayPal, for example, who has jumped on board and allows us to be able to direct money from our foundation, avoid some of the online fundraising forms where they take, you know, 5, 10, 15% out of those fees, out in fees, where we can just pass this directly on. 100% of the money can go directly to that community.
Wow.
So we're trying to make some moves that allows us to be sustainable, but without having to direct policy. And that's a critical thing. We're fortunate enough through a partnership that we have with Ernie Els with Cliff Bar and their founder, Gary Erickson. I called him immediately when the issues were happening in New York and New Jersey. And there, at that point in time, in late March, there was literally five states that were kind of on fire, and that was New York, New Jersey, Michigan, and Louisiana. You know, I'm not excluding others because, you know, they all had their issues as well, but it went further kind of more in the Northeast, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. And so we really put a lot of our efforts there. And when we found out that Elmhurst Hospital was losing, you know, people right and left that were first-line caregivers from getting COVID while they were working, we felt that we could do some things to help them with PPE equipment and food. And Gary Erickson jumped on board and said, we'll do 1 million bars toward the cause of fighting for frontline workers. And then that increased to 3 million.
Wow.
It's now increased to over 7 million. And we were fortunate enough to be able to hook up with the New York Athletic Club and Deepdale Golf Club in New York, where they were able to distribute for us. And within a day on the ground, there was an outpost that was set up in New York City at the Marriott Marquis. And we serviced all the Mount Sinai hospitals in New York City with 33,000 Cliff Bars to be able to give them to the frontline workers that were working 12-hour shifts, didn't have time to stop and eat. They needed something that was individually wrapped so that they could consume it and then throw it away because of, you know, the virus and all the things that could be attached to that. We've learned a ton about this virus and ways to be able to help. We've learned with UV lighting, the capability of using UV lighting to reuse masks and sterilize those masks and turn an N95 mask into something that could be reused in a hospital 3 to 4 times at most. We initially thought we needed, you know, zip bags,
right.
Ziploc bags, and they said, no, we actually need one local hospital in Orlando said we need 100,000 brown paper bags. And then that turned into we can educate the rest of the hospitals with what we've learned through process at some of our others. And so we're really in our infancy. I mean, we literally were just over 2 months old, and we've activated, and everybody's volunteering. And, you know, it's really taken a great amount of time, effort, but pride, and we're really pleased to see everybody coming together.
I'm absolutely enthralled. This is fantastic. And we're speaking with Rob Goulet, founder and president, Clubs Help. clubshelp.org is where you go. Easy. clubshelp.org. Ernie's challenge. What is Ernie's challenge?
So Ernie came on board when I told him what we were doing right away, day one. He immediately threw his brand behind this. You know, Ernie is a philanthropist himself. Many of you know who are listening that Ernie has the Ernie Els Foundation, Els for Autism, which is the foremost autism center and schools in the world. That's down in Jupiter, Florida, and that started with a situation with his youngest child, Ben, who was afflicted with autism, and they wanted Ben to be able to have a place to go and to learn and to go to school. And they built a foundation now. It's a $50 million foundation in partnership with the Palm Beach County school system. And we have two charter schools in that particular location. It's our only location in the United States. And so he understands giving back. And he has the Ernie Els and Fancourt Foundation, which was to promote young golfers in South Africa that were very qualified players to be able to get them exposed to the world and to get them into global golf, which has resulted in the careers of people like Brandon Grace and Charles Schwartzel. I don't want to leave anybody out. Christian Bazenhout and Louis Oosthuizen. So that's just Ernie's nature. He's a giver. And so when he did this, he said, what can I do? And so we were able to jump and do some national television interviews with this right away. That prompted Mr. Nicholas to get involved and help us out. Chris Cheddar got involved to help us out. So many athletes kind of jumped in and helped us out. And we're going to continue that, but there was a lot of other organizations that were also doing challenges through the internet and on social. So that's going to be resurrected, but his voice really helped the cause to kind of get over the hump and to get it out there in front of as many eyeballs as we could.
Absolutely. Yeah, Ernie, my grandson, is also on the spectrum. And so when I mm-hmm. met Ernie Els here when for Hawakalē, the opening, it was mm-hmm. great to meet him and to talk to him. And when he created his foundation, I was overjoyed to see so much attention being brought to something that wasn't being talked about at all and wasn't being acknowledged.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And I'm thrilled to see him involved, thrilled to speak with you. I've got to get Hawaii's club. So the National Club Association and the Club Management Association of America, they're both involved?
Yes, yes. One of the tricky things was we wanted to make sure that everybody understood, and not just those organizations. We were onboarding with Concert Golf Partners and with Club Corp of America, which is the largest. We're now in discussions with Troon. We're in discussions with Kemper Sports and then also all the individual clubs. But we were fortunate enough that Arcus Golf in Dallas jumped on board, and just through relationships that they had with their 60 clubs, they put us in touch with the AH Belo company in Dallas, which is a large media company that owns the Dallas Morning News. And they did the pro bono work to build our website and get that done from what initially started out as a GoDaddy site that we couldn't get anybody on the phone or talk to anybody or getting attention, to them taking that over and literally within a week putting up a great website for us. And if you go onto the website and you're there at clubshelp.org, if you go to the map on the drop-down of the homepage, you'll see the participation, and there's pin drops with all the clubs that have been connected with hospitals, all the clubs that have signed up that are working on getting connected with various local causes that they're near and dear to their heart, and as well as organizations that are part of that. Those pinpricks on the participation map.
Fantastic! This is for all clubs, not just golf clubs. This is for whether you can be a canoe club here in Hawaii. We have a lot of great canoe clubs. Whatever the club
Absolutely.
Is, everybody's welcome to be involved in Clubs Help. Clubs Help.
Yeah, and the reason why we went with the clubs and not directly to just the members was because what we were finding is that people were so busy with the hospitals that you really couldn't necessarily find the right person at the hospital. So we knew that in golf, the clubs literally have a relationship with almost every hospital, and they do their banquets and lunches, and many of their administrators and doctors and nurses are and employees are members of those clubs or play golf there or attend events at those clubs. So it was easy for us to be able to create a peer-to-peer relationship. We call it a captain. But it could be in typical fashion, the club manager or the general manager of the club or the head golf professional or somebody who's on the board or the president of the club. And they connect directly with the local hospitals at the highest level to create a one-to-one relationship so that that the communication between the members of the club and that captain is one voice. And then the person at the hospital who's the administrator is one voice to the hospital so that drop-offs and items that are needed and that list of things that are absolutely critical to those hospitals, that we could help to get that done quickly and efficiently.
Well, you're off the couch. Are you feeling good?
Well, we are over the moon.
Yes.
We've gotten incredible support, some stuff that we'll be able to announce once everything's official, and other stuff that has already happened. We've had great help, and I would be remiss to not mention the Dormy Network. They've been amazing as well, and they've put all six of their clubs in. I don't want to forget anybody because there's been so many companies like Firehouse Subs, and there's just been a lot of outreach for us, and we're really starting to build that corporate side of this now because I agree with you and what's happening in Hawaii, that food is really the big critical item now. And what we started to do was to try to work with clubs. For example, Addison Reserve down in South Florida has a group of seven clubs, and they do meals every Monday to the police and fire department, but they also support the local food banks. And for every dollar that goes into the food bank process, we can feed seven kids. And that's an important thing when nobody's in school and people don't know what the future looks like, and their best meal was typically at school. So these food banks are critically important, and it's certainly an area that that we want to support and get the word out, and hopefully the clubs and anybody who's involved with clubs help can bring these causes forward, and we can try to pair them up and help them get the funding that's needed to activate. And you know, with these local communities and with members, they're very willing to do if they feel like there's a place that they can help, and they will. It's not just money, and that's really why I think probably at the outset it really worked so well, because it wasn't about money and it isn't about money. It's about being there to be able to react quickly and using volunteer and local people to help in their own communities. And so that's why, you know, we unite nationally and we care locally.
Care locally. Golf Writers Association of America, I'm a member. I'm so thrilled to see that. And Diana DeLucia, Golf Kitchen, introducing me to everything. Rob Goulet, President, Entertainment Sports Partners, and now founder and president, Clubs Help. Go to clubshelp.org, a national charitable organization bringing clubs, I was going to say country clubs, but it's all clubs together for people in need, whether it's in the hospitals or in the community, in whatever community you're in, whatever your need is, Clubs Help. Great. I can't wait to share this again and again. Thank you so much for being on the show. Nice to meet you, Rob.
You too, Danielle. We'll see you when I'm out in Hawaii next time.
Excellent. Rob Goulet, aloha. We're going to come back. We've got a gentleman who just keeps making these really, really absorbing novels. It just amazes me. The latest is Murphy Murphy. His name is Keith Hirschland. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
I just want to remind everybody that Women's Golf Day, the virtual Women's Golf Day, actually had to be postponed because of Black Tuesday. So everything, we were going to have it on Tuesday, and we just, everything was, no, just stay quiet. It's not time for Women's Golf Day. We made it Women's Golf Day on the 3rd, and we had virtual Women's Golf Day. So engage, empower, support. It was a digital celebration, and we had a great time. And there was a fabulous a fabulous auction, and a lot of people offered things to auction off, including Mauna Kea Golf on the Big Island and Poipu Bay on Kauai, and a gal in Illinois. I know she won because I'm her contact, and so I'll be sending out her two tickets. I have to do the legal ID to her two certificates so she can go play Poipu Bay Golf Course. And it was so much fun celebrating Virtual Women's Golf Day. Engage, empower, and support women around the world. It was incredible. All the different women and kids and people just enjoying the game. So that happened, and now we're going to be sending out. I bid on something from Annika Sorenstam, and I can't wait to get that. So it was just a whole lot of fun, and just really is. Okay, so seeing all the things that are happening in the world, it's been a very difficult time on a lot of different levels. Things that Black Lives Matter, and watching the protests, and watching what's happening on television, and being overjoyed with the caring of all the people who have come out to make their point, get the point across to the world, and let everyone know that it's time for change. It's time to embrace all equally, that's a really important thing to do. And to see all of that in the midst of course, seeing people without masks on at the protests was frightfully disturbing, since we're still in the midst of a global pandemic. But out of all of this comes the giving. Out of all of this comes the volunteerism that's come out. When I watch the thousands of people at Aloha Stadium, the food doesn't just walk over to the car. The food is delivered. And then the volunteers for the Hawaii Food Bank, they have to get everything sorted out and ready. And the cars lining up, and the people accepting the fact that there's going to be traffic around the stadium, because that just is the way it is, because the need is great right now, as we're all in recovery. And we don't know how to do it, but we got to do it safely. We've got to make sure that we're not importing a virus that could then take us down to our knees, that we do it in a very safe way. That's what's most important. And seeing it all was really quite amazing. We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. So we're still waiting for Keith Hirschland to call in, and I'm surprised he's usually so very prompt, and I'm worried that I've given him the wrong time. He is an amazing author, an award-winning, an Emmy award-winning sports television producer. He produced live tournament TV, one of the first 40 people to be hired at Golf Channel in 1995. Impressive. Then he writes Cover Me Boys, I'm Going In. And it was all about his life as a child, growing up in a television station, going on to win Best in Memoirs in 2017. So it's a great book. Then he wrote something completely different, something that is not even close to writing about yourself or your experiences in life, Big Flies. And Big Flies, and then The Flower Girl Murder, and now Murphy Murphy. And Murphy Murphy, in the beginning, you kind of go, this is interesting. I love the way he's made the chapters. but just this is one of the best reviews. Author Keith Hirschland provides a multi-layered storyline that has enough mystery, suspense, drama, treachery, secrets, and intriguing twists and turns that keeps the reader guessing while weaving an intricate and complicated web of what the motive of the murders could have been, and the spectrum of possible participants who could have been involved in committing them. If that isn't enough to captivate the reader, the author adds a wonderful touch of humor and a bit of romance into the mix to keep them entertained. So I'll try to get in touch with him now. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
We have not been able to reach Keith Hirschland. We hope that he'll be able to call in. In the meantime, of course, we'd love to give you an opportunity to win a couple of rounds of golf at Poipu Bay. Speaking of Poipu Bay Golf Course and the auction that we had. So Poipu Bay, two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay. The number to call is 808-545-1111. 808-545-1111. If you'd like to play a round of golf today, it's going to be sunny. Some brief showers are possible. Isolated showers on the leeward side. But bottom line, it's going to get hot. The high today is expected to be 91 degrees. Breezy trades 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, it should cool off to between 69 and 74. So not too cool, but at least it's not in the, you know, like last year it was 80 at night. So this is cool. We've got tee times for you, and one of them would be Poipu Bay, 9:30, 10:30, 11:15. Makalei on the Big Island has a 9 o'clock, a 10, 12, and an 11 o'clock. Royal Hawaiian Country Club here on Oahu, 8:30, 9:50, 10:20. And Bayview, 8:36, 9:30, 10:20, and 11:48. Makaha East has an 8:30, a 9:30, and a 10:30. The Kahili course on Maui has an 8:54 and a 9:10 and an 11:34. And then Wailea, always supporting the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association on the Emerald course, there's a 10:50, an 11:20. On the Blue course, there's a 9:40 and a 10:10. And there's an 11 o'clock and an 11:50. And then at Maui Nui, you could go out and play a round of golf at 11:24 or 12:24. PGA Tour kicking off. So next week, Saturday, we'll be talking with Mark Rolfing about the Charles Schwab Challenge with a major championship field. Like, it's only two missing golfers out of the top 20 would be Tommy Fleetwood. He's choosing not to leave the UK. He doesn't want to leave his family, doesn't want to go to the quarantine. There's a lot of stuff going on in the UK. They've added the UK swing. So six events to take advantage of. Have a great time in his home where he can be safe and close to home should anything happen. Also, the Korn Ferry Tour is kicking off with the Korn Ferry Challenge, and they're playing at TPC Sawgrass. Really interesting to see them at Colonial with none of the stands put up because there will be no fans. all of that is just going to be great to watch, because the guys are going to see a different field, a different course than they have played in the past. And I think for the guys who play it a lot, that will be perfect. Ryan Palmer, for instance, I think he's going to have a great time. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm looking for a sheet for the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, because they've revised their schedule. They have plans to raise money for the food bank. So speaking of raising money, we're going to get right back to it after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
I also want you to check out Aloha Power Equipment, because at Aloha Power Equipment, at their Waipahu and Sand Island stores, you can get a Honda EU 2200 generator for $999. Get an extended warranty for $99. What you need, the best deal on a Honda EU 2200.
Does your golf swing have a hitch in it? Want to learn the finer points to play better? Get the fun back in your game with coaching by Master PGA Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau, Director of Instruction at Wailea Golf Academy, a Golf Channel Academy. Claude, a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, you will improve immediately and get fast results. Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or email cbrousseau@waileagolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-856-9458. And have fun counting your birdies.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
The Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, HSJGA, has revised its schedule. Speaking of schedules, they have an incredible schedule. They fly from island to island, and they compete. And the whole reason for some of these really good junior golfers, of course, is to get the points they need to be able to play in the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions at Wailea Golf Club on Maui. So this is what's happening now. Hawaii State Junior Golf Association is going to have a match play championship benefiting the Hawaii Food Bank. They'll be conducting throughout the month of July on each island, having its own bracket, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association officiating and guiding each match from a distance to ensure safety for the golfers and respect the guidelines enforced by each course, of course. The Hawaii State Junior Golf Association is challenging its members to raise much-needed funds to be donated to the Hawaii Food Bank to help the many Hawaii families in need. So this is a HSJGA Match Play Championship benefiting the Hawaii Food Bank. Each island will be having the championship and raising money for the food bank. And I'm going to quote now Matt Rollins, who'll be on the show in a couple weeks. We feel that a match play of this nature will accommodate the guidelines around large gatherings while in Hawaii Golf Phase 2 and gives our juniors a great option in competitive golf. We also want to show our support to the local community through golf in these difficult times, and that's where we will have our juniors reach out to their networks to pledge donations for the Hawaii Food Bank. We want to continue teaching youth in Hawaii about the importance of social responsibility and how they can provide a positive impact within their community. That's Matt Rollins, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association Executive Director. So then additionally, in the fall, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association will look at conducting a stroke play championship, one on each island. And that's in partnership with the local island associations, identifying the top junior golfers to qualify for the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions, which will be held on Maui in December. So we've got the match play benefiting the Hawaii Food Bank, Kauai, Oahu, Maui, and the Big Island, July 1st to the 28th. HSJGA Stroke Play Championship, Kauai, Oahu, Maui, and the Big Island, September and October, the dates to be announced. And the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions at Wailea, December 5th and 6th. So that is what's happening here in Hawaii with the Hawaii Food Bank and making everything perfect. What is such, I miss this completely. I've been calling Volcano because, you know, I always do the tea times at Volcano. Volcano is almost 100 years old, the golf course on the Big Island. Well, after a fire that cost over $300,000, I mean, that was the loss. And then the pandemic, I guess that was all she wrote because they closed abruptly. Even Kamehameha Schools, which owns the land, was surprised. Now, they're considering keeping it as a golf course, but exactly what's going to happen, we don't know. So that's what's going on with the Volcano Golf Course. And thank you to the Hawaii Tribune Herald for all that information. It's a gorgeous course. It's really beautiful. It's upcountry. And does anybody remember when the volcano was erupting and you were watching the golfers and they were all there standing and they were staring at all this smoke? And it looked like, because of the way the picture was taken, it looked like, what are those crazy golfers doing now? They're standing in the middle of a volcano and it's erupting around them and they're nuts. And it was really like 5 or 6 miles away. So nobody was really in any danger. Of course, the only danger we really have on a golf course is watching out for a golf ball. So we have to be very, very aware. Anyway, we want to thank the people who make this show possible. Make your reservations for Bayview Golf Course, the best value in golf. It's in Kaneohe. It's just a few lights past Likelike Kaneohe Bay Drive, that intersection where there's a McDonald's and there's the Burger King on the corner. You keep going towards the ocean, and then you see Bayview on your left. And they are following all of the guidance provided by the CDC, approved by the state and the city and county, all of that in place. Also, PGA of America had a big part in that. Social distancing, wiping down the touch screens, cleaning out the carts with disinfectants. Just like the pros, there's foam in the hole to keep the ball in the cup, no moving the flag stick, just a lot of protection, lots of room between tee times. Bayview, it is a great walking course, by the way, particularly the front nine, if you want to do a quick nine. But you got to give them a call. Give Bayview a call so that you can get your tee time. COVID-19 ready. Oahu Extraction, there to help you when your flooding or mitigation needs come to the fore. And boy, when it happens, you need something, somebody right away. So when it floods or sneaks in, dripping, you know, from upstairs, you don't even know there's a leak until something funky's smelling in the bathroom or the kitchen, call Oahu Extraction for your peace of mind. You know, that water can stay in and cause mold. So you want Oahu Extraction to come see inside the walls with their hydrometer. Indeed, they can see what's going on inside the walls without opening them up yet. Call Oahu Extraction, 330-6212. and Aloha Power Equipment. They have what you need at their Waipahu and Sand Island stores, their power equipment. But I need you to know, the Honda EU 2200, that generator is only $999. You get an extended warranty for $99. That's the best deal on a Honda EU generator. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.